smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is January 25th, Thursday, January 25th, day 370 of Donald Trump's Universal Championship reign.
It's Rusev Day. Happy Rusev Day. To put that in context, 370 days. In the modern era, he's just a day short of Randy Savage's 371-day reign. John Cena's 2006 reign of 380 days. Well, I guess overlapping a year there. And then CM Punk with the 434. So I think... Do you think we make it to two more months? That's easy. He can beat Punk's record.
Russia's coming up. Anyways, The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Chris Kelly and I are authorities on this very unique topic because we are thus far the only authors of a book that covers the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Professional Wrestling. You see what we're doing here? You can find that at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com and or presidentwrestler.com. It's available in the Amazon store, the Audible store, if you prefer to listen to it rather than read it. And we've also written for a lot of places.
Yeah, you can find our stuff on our website, where we've written for Slate, for the Washington Post, a bunch of other publications.
You for Vice, me for U.S. News and World Report. So if you're looking for cool young person stuff, go read Chris. If you're looking for college rankings, read my stuff. All right, here we go. We haven't done the show in a while. What has changed in the last month or two?
Well, it's been a year since the Donald won the championship.
When he went from United States champion to Universal champion.
Yes. And not a lot has happened. It seemed that a lot happened day to day because everyone's running around with their heads on fire. But really, he got someone confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Which is a very
big
deal.
That's a big thing. And that's going to last for longer than Donald Trump's arteries will be pumping blood like the Ultimate Warrior.
But I think it's fair to say that that's mostly a Mitch McConnell success story.
Yes, because remember Merrick Garland? Nobody does. That's right. That's why we have Gorsuch on the court.
So Mitch McConnell kept a seat vacant for a potential Republican president, and it happened.
Yeah.
He also kept a lot of, the Senate entirely. The Congress kept a lot of seats open in the judiciary, so Trump has filled the most amount of seats from any sitting president. Once again, that's very, if you're a Trump supporter, you have to be very, very happy with that. But if you are, but it's more like a Mitch McConnell success once again.
Yes. So similarly, the big tax cut, that's a Paul Ryan, Anna McConnell victory. They finally got exactly why they have kind of like mortgage the future. It was for this tax cut and why they've stood by the Donald, even if they don't like him as a person or as a president. They got their tax cut.
So if you are a very mainstream Republican, you should be very happy with what's going on. Maybe not what's being said, but definitely what's going on in terms of taxes and judiciary. That is one of the most difficult words to say.
Yes, I know. We're going to stop saying it. Judges. And then just generally trying to roll back the Obama era regulations, not as much. They haven't had great success with repealing Obamacare, ACA, but kind of chipping away at the edges, doing a lot of things at the cabinet level and the executive level.
If you're listening to the show for the first time, we would also like to point out that former WWE CEO and on-screen character Linda McMahon is in Donald Trump's cabinet. This is not a joke. She is the head of the Small Business Administration, and you might not be hearing a lot about the SBA because they're actually doing an okay job, and they've caused zero controversies thus far.
Yeah, because Linda McMahon spent $100 million to not be a senator and then only had to spend about $5 million basically a payoff to Trump to become a cabinet-level official.
If you would like to hear our interview with Linda McMahon at the Republican National Convention, go find us in the Great American Bash feed, currently available on WGN+. Plus. It's in the iTunes feed. You'll find it there. The episode is titled Linda McMahon, Dolph Ziggler, and Jeff Rowe, because we are the only show that's ever interviewed the former WWE CEO, a current WWE superstar, and Ted Cruz's campaign manager on the same show.
The big thing that's happened recently, since we've haven't been doing the show, is the government was shut down for 69 hours.
Perfect.
Nice. Basically, as the government keeps trying to pass budgets and doing temporary budgets, the Democrats did kind of hold for a couple days, kind of over the budget thing has been, it expanded to questions of children's health care with CHIP, with the Dreamers, with the DACA, and also anything with immigration will deal with the wall.
So This happened Friday night into Monday around 5 p.m. So literally one day of work was missed. Mm-hmm. Those government workers that were furloughed will get that one day of pay. Literally nothing has changed for the day-to-day for the United States of America, at least the government. What do you think is going to happen?
At February 9th or whenever this goes through, mm-hmm. they'll do this again. Mm-hmm. The Democrats will mess up the messaging of it. And probably lose again. But the Democrats are also the minority party. They don't have any leverage.
All right. So the reason why I mentioned that this happened on Friday is because on Saturday was Women's March Part 2, mm-hmm. but it was also the one-year anniversary of Trump's inauguration.
Yes.
Do you follow Real Donald Trump on Twitter?
I don't. I follow Real Trump Hogan on Twitter, which is a bot we created that just adds brother. Like Hulk Hogan to every one of Donald Trump's tweets. It makes it, if you're going to try to follow what Trump says on his favorite platform, you should be able to read it in Hulk Hogan's voice.
So I completely agree. I'm laughing at our own jokes here, but the thing that makes the entire shutdown / Women's March / inauguration worth it to me was the greatest trolling tweet, the greatest wrestler tweet of all time from Donald Trump. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, but go ahead.
Okay, this was released during the height of the Women's March Part 2. It broke a record in Chicago. It was bigger in Chicago than it was the first year. At that time, this is what Trump tweeted. Beautiful weather all over our great country. A perfect day for all women to march. Get out there now to celebrate the historic milestones and unprecedented economic success and wealth creation that has taken place over the last 12 months. Lowest female unemployment in 18 years. Yeah. Come on. That is beautiful.
He gets it. He really doesn't actually think they're marching for him. If you think that, you're really not paying attention. You should probably read our book and listen to this podcast. That's a great heel move to take credit for millions and millions of people marching against you.
I showed that to my friend who marched last year. She took a bus from Chicago to Washington, D.C. last year. And then this year, she's pregnant, and she marched, and she was like, I'm fighting the good fight. I was like, did you see this tweet? And she got real mad at me.
Yeah. And Brandon, you are a white male, correct? Okay, cool. Just making sure. So all that's happened since we last did this in the last year. But that's not the big show.
Well, it's a big show.
Of this podcast, the big show is, and will probably be for the next few months, is the what we're calling the Moscow screw job.
Okay, so if you are a longtime loyal listener to this show, you might have realized the day after the election, we entitled our episode "Moscow Screw Job." Mm-hmm. That's happening now.
Yeah, it's finally. I mean, the Russia investigation has been continuing. The latest development is that Donald Trump says, "Yeah, sure, I will testify under oath." About this, because no collusion, no collusion, no collusion.
Okay, once again, Donald Trump is a wrestler, which means words don't matter.
Yeah. Do you think he actually, his lawyers, I mean, let him is in air quotes, because he's the president and he just do what he wants, because he always does what he wants. Do you think he'll actually testify?
Yeah.
Okay.
But do I think he'll plead the fifth of the majority of it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which he can do.
Yes. So do you think he just purges himself? Because like, why not? What are they going to do? Because at the end of the day, Congress would still have to act on this stuff.
That's a great question.
So I mean, he's already admitted to obstruction on TV with Lester Holt.
Yeah, we didn't timestamp this. It's currently 9 a.m. And the reason why we have to timestamp this is we did record one of our episodes during him perjuring himself.
Yes.
On national television.
Yes. So I'm not sure if he's currently perjuring himself right now.
That's a great question. Let's assume that he's going to perjure himself because he's already done it once and it has had no consequence. Do you think it's better to do this before the 2018 elections or after? If you're Trump, if you're Trump's team, what are you trying to do?
Just push this as long as possible.
So you don't want this to go to 2019.
Well, that's the thing too. You maybe not, because if they think that all this can be brushed under the rug, while there's still a Republican Congress, that could, you know, if they think the public will just go, oh, whatever, he talked, it's over.
We talked a lot about politics thus far. Yeah. I just want to put a wrestling analogy in here. This is like pulling the trigger on the Shield reunion. People get hurt. Isn't it kind of nice that there was a little Shield reunion and then Dean Ambrose got hurt? Clearly, the Shield reunion was going to be a big part of WrestleMania.
Roman got sick. He had like the mumps.
See, you need to pull the trigger while you have it. Something could change.
So perjure now.
Perjure now.
Perjure now. That's our stance here on the Great American Bash. want to keep it going and somewhere where we kind of overlap with the politics and wrestling, was your winter reading list.
Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of reading about politics, and
ooh,
you don't.
Bragging.
Because you're done with it. You used to work in politics.
Yes, I used to work in Democratic politics.
And I work in pop culture, so yes. I don't have any real reason to read about politics nonstop other than this show, and it brings me incredible joy to read every single book about this.
Right.
I'm mostly reading every single book about this because I'm consistently searching for their inevitably incorrect comparison to the squared circle.
Yes.
We are clearly the only ones that know what we're talking about. Come at us, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Let's call the promo, guys.
So, Fire and Fury is the book that came out at this point 3 weeks ago, but it might have been 10 years ago.
It feels like a long time ago.
That was the book that led to Steve Bannon getting fired.
Yeah. Michael Wolff, played by Fred Armisen.
Fire and Fury does have a paragraph about wrestling. It's the only paragraph about wrestling in the book. How about I read this and then you read the next one,
sure.
Okay? A pro wrestling fan who became a WWE supporter and personality, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, Trump lived, like Hulk Hogan, is a real-life fictional character. To the amusement of his friends and unease of the many people now preparing to work for him at the highest levels of federal government, Trump often spoke of himself in the third person. Trump did this. The Trumpster did that. So powerful was this persona or role that he seemed reluctant or unable to give it up in favor of being president or presidential. So, some of that's completely correct. Mm-hmm. He is in the WWE Hall of Fame. He does refer to himself in the third person. That's not necessarily a wrestler thing to do, refer to yourself in the third person. People just do that. Bob Dole did that. Senators do that, number one. Number two, it's not a persona. Mm. This is who he is. It's just an amplification of self, not a persona.
Living the gimmick.
Number three, that's not what's prevented him from being presidential. The idea of him as a wrestler is not the thing that people care about.
Mm-hmm.
So, while lots of the ingredients in that paragraph are correct. Ingredients, yeah. Jesus Christ. A lot of the ideas in that paragraph are correct.
Editor Brandon Weatherby.
I know. That doesn't necessarily make it correct. Does this make sense?
No, of course. I think, and also the idea that he has a wrestling, even if you say, oh, it's a persona, it's a role he's playing, that he did it and he's reluctant. It's like, no, this is how he became president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and he does know his role.
And I quote, you know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
Okay, he does
president.
Not.
He's president.
The president. Yeah.
So that's my biggest problem with the Fire and Fury book. My second biggest problem with Fire and Fury is it was clearly not copy edited.
Because it was rushed to publication.
Rushed to publication. But there's one error to me that's super glaring. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily wrestling related, but it's very important in terms of timelines. It's about 100 pages into the book. He says, John Boehner, and then brackets, who resigned in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not true. He became Speaker of the House in 2011, and he resigned in 2015
right.
after the Pope visit, because his big thing was he wanted to meet the Pope. He wanted to bring the Pope to Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
and he did. That matters for a handful of reasons. Number one, who was in office in 2008? Who was elected into office in 2008?
Barack Hussein Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama, and there was a giant wave of Democrats, which means Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House until 2011 when John Boehner took over. So, if you don't understand that, you might think John Boehner is a Democrat.
Right.
He is not. Number two, he brought the Pope in. After he brought the Pope in, he decided to retire, leaving a power vacuum. And there's a very strong argument that if Boehner's in Washington, D.C., he is not going to allow Donald Trump to become president. I don't think that's insane. I think there's a fair argument. Number three, Trump's second greatest feud of all time is with the Pope.
What's his number one greatest feud?
Hillary.
Okay. I mean, the Pope one's up there.
He went against the Pope, and he had the Pope apologize to Trump.
Apologize to the Pope.
That's amazing.
Trump, yes.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. So, moving on. The quote you pulled out is from Katie Turr's Unbelievable.
Yeah. This book came out in the fall, but a lot of people read it over the Christmas break. It's still doing really well on the charts.
This is what you guys like to do over Christmas break. That's real cool. This is the quote. Journalists who cover Trump without being in the room will sometimes say that Trump's crowd isn't with him. But I can tell you, the crowd loves it. There is no rush to the exit, no howl of disgust. The first rally in the aftermath of the scuffle in Birmingham was as packed as the last, maybe more packed. People seem drawn to Trump's rallies in the same way that they are drawn to a professional wrestling match. And as with a professional wrestling match, they seem divided between people who believe all they see and hear and those who know it's partially a performance. The scariest thing about being at a Trump rally is that you don't know who believes it and who doesn't. Okay, so this is so much more wrong than the Wolf one.
Oh, absolutely.
So for 100 plus years, fans of professional wrestling have known that it is a work, that it is fake. It is not a shoot, which would be real. The only people who really think that, like, have sub 100 IQs, which is fine. You can have that. Mm-hmm. And or are small children.
Yes.
Small children are, and if you read this literally and actually knew what professional wrestling matches and fan base and audience was, you would be saying that the small children at the rally are the ones who didn't know.
Exactly. So this is incorrect, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an incredibly famous, memeable line about professional wrestling. Here it is.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Okay, even in that line, the man is acknowledging it, he knows it's not real.
And that's what hurts.
Exactly. So even your most diehard fan that you want to believe, we all know better. We all know better, unless you're a special needs person, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So, come on, guys.
Yeah, just get it together. I mean, this is the constantly the argument I think we have most when we try to explain this to lay people, and is that no, we of course it's fake. So is Game of Thrones and Mad Men.
Yeah, it's theater.
And not just because we're like, you know, liberal elites that get it and we're watching it ironically. No, you can enjoy it, and it is fake.
There is a word Chris just said that's kind of important, which is liberal. It's important to remember that wrestling has a majority liberal fan base, a majority Democrat fan base. And if you're listening to the show for the first time and don't watch WWE programming, you might think that Trump is mentioned on a weekly basis. He has not been mentioned since the first primary.
Right.
So,
and that was in kind of an offhand remark by
Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. And they've made that clear that they're not going to talk about Trump or even reference him because it's bad for business for their fan base.
And that's a very, very, very odd thing because literally every single president since WWF went to television has been mentioned, if not appeared in a storyline, either a version of themselves or an actor or a wrestler imitating them.
Yes.
So this is very unusual.
Yes. So one of the big, I want to get more towards the wrestling, and I think the bridge to get there is the XFL.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL!
Okay.
Which is finally coming back. The XFL is important because it was Vince McMahon's attempt to compete with the NFL with something that was more extreme. You can tell by the X. It failed miserably. You can watch the 30 for 30 about it, but don't, because it's pretty much just
things,
propaganda.
Things we need to remember for the 30 for 30. The 30 for 30 was made by a family member.
By Dick Ebersol's son.
And Dick Ebersol was part of NBC. He's the guy that ran SNL the years Lorne Michaels wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But he's also the one that brought in Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yes, which was a WWF, that was when WWF was on broadcast television.
So we'll give you the very short version of what happened. Vince McMahon announced the XFL without any real plan, and Dick Ebersol saw that and was like, hey, we should go into business with him.
Yeah.
And they did.
We should lose a lot of money. The thing is, a few weeks ago, or maybe at months at this point, the XFL trademarks were renewed, along with Vince McMahon starting a new company called Alpha Entertainment, and also taking a lot of his selling a lot of shares to kind of cash out. He's still very much in control of WWE, but he's a little more liquid now. That PW Insider reports that WWE's production team has been working on video material geared towards promoting the impending return of the XFL. The current plan, according to numerous sources, is for the Football League to officially return in 2020. And the delay is to build a proper infrastructure, including hiring coaches and players, which is something they did not do last time. That was one of the big failures of the XFL, is they had like 2 weeks to practice, and the product, the on-field product, was bad. The innovations that they came up with, you currently see in the NFL. But the product, the actual,
if you read our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, available at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com, you will know all these things. Mm-hmm. If you watch the 30 for 30 documentary, you will think it was because one truck transmitter went out, and that's it.
Yeah, no, the 30 for 30 is very bad. This is all important, not just because we talk about pro wrestling here, but for the people that don't know, Donald Trump was also involved in a short-lived effort to try to beat the NFL with the USFL, which you can read about in our book. This is interesting, and I think it actually comes back to politics, because the reason Vince is doing this, Vince is 70 years old. He doesn't need to be doing this. He has made enough money. The moment of what he tried to do at the XFL is probably more now than the extreme 90s, 2000, whenever he did it. Alpha Entertainment, all this stuff speaks to, aren't you tired of NFL, the NFL, where they like do concussion protocols and kneel for something, like watch the XFL. And speaking to that audience of the people who have, and this is in the polling data, of people who have turned off the NFL when Trump started feuding with it, has been a part of their recent, not like downfall, but the ratings went down last season.
I'm not going to disagree with any of it. I think we could just wait, because today, January 25th, you're probably hearing this after January 25th, is the day the WWE is supposed to make some sort of announcement about this stuff. There's been a planned press conference, like Chris said, for a while. So
it's a wait and see, but
we'll
it
definitely be revisiting this. There was one word that he mentioned in the last segment that I want to loop back, and that's Alpha. Mm-hmm. Really quick, who is Alpha in the Alpha versus Omega?
That'd be Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho came back to Raw, which means it's time to give our wall update.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration. Break the wall.
Break down the walls. It looks like Trump is literally going to get everything he asked for in the campaign other than to get Mexico to pay for the wall.
Yeah, so he's winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we have to figure out how to resist a little better, because he got everything he wanted.
That being said, let's go away from politics for a second and talk about Chris Jericho and New Japan.
Yeah, no. If
did you watch the Wrestle Kingdom match?
I did. It's excellent.
It is excellent. Yeah. How did you watch it?
I downloaded it totally legally and watched it at home the next day.
So, if you don't know what we're talking about, Chris Jericho is a man who has a very unique hairstyle. He's been a WWE wrestler before, then a WCW wrestler. He's been in wrestling for over almost 30 years at this point. And he's very, very successful and doesn't look like a steroid maniac.
Yeah,
he's not. And has managed to stay relevant for more than 20 years, which is insane.
Yeah.
And he had one of our favorite storylines in 2017 in the WWE. And at the end of the year, he decided, hey, I'm going to do this one-off match, or in theory, one-off match in Japan with this guy named Kenny Omega. It went incredibly well. The Dirt Sheets gave it a 5-star match to Dave Meltzer. If you don't know who that is, he is essentially all of Sports Illustrated covering wrestling. He's the most important wrestling journalist of all time.
Yes.
No qualifiers there. He rates matches. He gave it 5 stars, which is his highest rating.
Sort of.
And it was great. So there's this 49-year-old, 47-year-old man in a renaissance, and he just came back to WWE this week for Raw 25. And the reason I'm mentioning this and so often is his shirt said Alpha.
Yes.
Okay. So he is wearing a shirt that is a New Japan product.
Yes.
That is currently available at Hot Topic. And the WWE makes no money on that. But since he's so successful, he gets to do whatever he wants regardless of party structure or regardless of past norms. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Does this sound like anybody else?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, so we are on the road to WrestleMania, or we will be on Sunday. As Brandon says, Raw 25, it was celebrating 25 years of Monday Night Raw. They had a nostalgic episode, a lot of bringing back a lot of legends, and not quite legends, but anyone they could get. They broadcast from the Manhattan Center, where the Raw was first taped, and also from the Barclays in Brooklyn, where they do a lot of their major events. So you noticed, you watched the 90-minute Hulu version, because 3 hours is too long.
Well, I watched the 3-hour version live, but the first hour and a half, I it was on mute. I was with a friend and couldn't really watch it, so I decided to revisit it and see what I missed. I was like, well, what did Stone Cold say? He literally said nothing. I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
So I rewatched the 90-minute version. I was like, hey, they cut the 3-segment women's match. They cut a lot of stuff because it's 90 minutes on Hulu. There's no women's match.
Right. Because that was the only women's match.
It's the only women's match. And to be fair, there was only 3 real matches.
Right.
Maybe 4, if you're being generous here. So I understand that. And in terms of like screen time, women's wrestling probably got 30% of the screen time, which is not horrible.
Right. Considering what the status quo was 3-4 years ago.
I don't think there's been no women's matches on a truncated version of Raw since Stephanie McMahon single-handedly ushered in the Women's Revolution a few years ago.
Yes, and so Brandon's being sarcastic there. The Women's Revolution is a thing that basically the superstars and the fans of the female superstars kind of engineered over the last few years. A few years ago, they were getting... This is... If you watched WWE maybe as a teenager in the 90s, women's wrestling had been reduced to basically a sideshow, bra and panties matches, just kind of a Playboy... models kind of tussling, and it had changed because there was a lot of women who were just as, who could compete on the same level as the men, but were given a minute instead of, and not three segments like they had on Monday. And they started with, you know, give divas a chance. The fact that they were called divas should tell you a lot where the division was. Now they are female superstars. It's the women's division. And on Sunday, they'll be the first women's Royal Rumble.
Now, that's another reason why I was very surprised that they didn't include it. And I understand that, like, okay, the reason why they don't want to have a three segment match on the 90-minute Hulu is because you kind of have to include all three segments. You can't just jump in, and you don't want to include a 20-minute match. But couldn't you have figured out something here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this, apparently one of the issues with Raw 25, and this is kind of the insidery bullshit, dirt sheet stuff, but they had planned a lot of the show around Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Fallon was not available to do pre-tapes because he's taping his own show called The Tonight Show. And so they had to rewrite everything. And that's why you had a lot of, like, legends go out, like, women go out there and wave, or, like, general managers all stand around a card table because they had planned to do stuff with Jimmy Fallon and just had to kind of rewrite the show on the fly.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Yeah. So it turns out people were saying this Raw could not have been any worse. It could have been worse. but, yeah, it was. I mean, it started great. I mean, if once again, if you watched in the 90s, Stone Cold stunned Shane McMahon twice and Vince, 70-year-old, once. And it was great. And he did not say anything because they don't give him a live mic, much like they would at certain points. They would not give Ric Flair, when Ric Flair was not just like everyone's grandfather, when he was like a going concern, they wouldn't give him a live mic because they had their storyline and they knew that these guys were way too over and way too popular. And they didn't trust them. They don't trust the best people in the business.
Here's the biggest difference between the 90-minute Hulu version and the regular version is the live version, you can clearly see Stone Cold fingers.
Yeah.
He gives the middle fingers to every single corner of the ring. Mm-hmm. And then after every single stunner, they pan the camera down in the 90-minute version.
Yeah.
So you never see the fingers. And then they kind of blur it out, which is just weird.
It's just very strange. So that was Raw 25. And this is going to be a hard turn, but on the same day that that was happening, the WWE's Cruiserweight Champion, Enzo Amore, Eric Arndt, there was allegations, rape accusations that came out on Twitter. He was quickly, once that stuff kind of got picked up, he was quickly suspended. He was fired on Tuesday. He was not wished well in his future endeavors.
So please explain this.
So every time the WWE fires someone, they say, we have, you know, released, you know, blah, blah, blah. We wish them well in their future endeavors. So future endeavored has become a verb in wrestling parlance to mean get your walking papers.
Thank you. This is sad. There's no winners. That being said, I would just like to point out that in fake sports, if you do something like sexually assault someone, you're instantly fired. Unlike in real sports, they'll keep you around for years if you serve a cause.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you get like, if you're like a really good player, like a defensive player or like, if you're a running back past their prime, like you can hit the bricks. But if you are like a defensive end or something, you're good to go.
I like Chris. I think you're being a bigot right now. It's not just a football issue. There's just as many baseball players that are domestic.
Hockey, basketball.
Yeah, come on. Let's open.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want to be closed minded. So the important thing to point out here also is that WWE is a publicly traded company. They did what was best for business, and also it's been suggested that perhaps it was the fact that he's been under investigation since this incident in October and did not tell the company, and that they then rebuilt their cruiserweight division around him, considering that the main storyline is he is the champion and he has a Zotrain of followers and every story has run through him, to the point where on Tuesday they had to have Daniel Bryan, their most beloved current wrestler, say, we're going to get a new GM next week. He has abdicated the title, basically saying, let's just never speak of him again and just move on. And the fact that this happened while they were planning Raw 25, they're doing a big media blitz for the Royal Rumble. We're on the road to WrestleMania. I'm surprised that Vince McMahon was not arrested for murder. So, bada boom. Most fired guy in the room.
I don't think we even need to bring up the political analog on this because it's just...
Yeah, it's just sadly.
Just look at your Twitter feed once today and
there live will be in America.
Okay, moving on.
So the Royal Rumble is Sunday. Excited for the Royal Rumble, Brandon?
This is my favorite event of the year, and I want to thank you for making this my favorite event of the year. Your first Royal Rumble party was in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first live wrestling event I had watched ever. Because as a kid, I loved it, but I never got the pay-per-views.
Right.
I didn't have cable, so I would just watch SmackDown or occasionally when it was on UPN.
Yes.
And I didn't really understand why the matches were so much different on pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
And my wife hates you.
I understand. But this year, like we said, there's going to be the traditional men's Royal Rumble, also a women's Royal Rumble, and also some other matches on the card mm-hmm. in between these things. The Royal Rumble is the most fun. You can bet on it because you can just a friend of the show, Adam Jones, has shown me how you can bet on it, and it's with numbers, and it has nothing to do with like picking the winner, because as we all know, as fans of this, it's fucking fake.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We don't care. But if you're like, why would I ever want to watch the Royal Rumble? I'm listening to the show because I like politics. Tell me you haven't talked to your friends about who you want to run in 2020, regardless of the side of the aisle.
Yeah.
That's what this is. But we get to do this all of the time. It's so much
Once
more fun.
Once a year. 30 men or women enter. They go over the top rope. One is left. They get a title shot at WrestleMania in April. You get surprise entrances. Sometimes you get old legends come back. You get kind of up-and-comers or 2 years ago, AJ Styles. Is it 2 years?
2 years ago now. AJ Styles debuted.
Debuted in the
Last
Royal
year,
Rumble.
Jack Gallagher came out simply so they could do an umbrella spot.
So he could jump off the top rope with an umbrella.
Like Mary Poppins.
Because he's a fancy British gentleman.
We also had Ty Dillinger's debut.
At number 10.
Exactly, because that's
the perfect
his gimmick.
10. Yeah, so but this year, let's just look at a couple of the storylines coming to what we think is could happen. Some of the chatter. I also have Paddy Power loaded up so I can get the up-to-date odds because you can bet on this. You shouldn't because it's fake. So the favorite to win everything all the time in the WWE in 2018 is Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
The current champion is Brock Lesnar. He'll be defending his title at the Rumble.
Caveat here, really mm-hmm. quickly before you go any further, for the novice, we want to make it clear that there are four different championship belts.
Yes.
Which kind of matters here. There's a red belt on Red, the black belt on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Those are for the boys.
Yes.
Those are both considered WWE champion.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar is the Universal Champion.
Yes. He has the red one.
Brock and AJ Styles is the WWE Champion.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Donald Trump is Brock Lesnar. They are our Universal Champions.
Yes.
Okay,
Thank
I think
you
we
for
can move
clearing
on.
That up. Yeah. So Roman Reigns, who won this at that first one you watched, 2015, mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, where this is, he was roundly booed, even though he had our preferred 2020 candidate, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, hold up his hand as a passing of the torch moment, didn't work. Roman Reigns could win it. The open secret is that he'll be facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, finally win that title off him, and continue it being the guy for the next decade, the big dog, Roman Reigns. So that's one way it could go. Also, it's fake, and so none of this really matters. So if they just go on Monday, hey, Roman Reigns comes out and goes, hey, I want to challenge you, they can just do that too.
Exactly.
So none of this, keep in mind, none of this matters. So the other, the favorite according to Paddy Power right now at 5-6 odds is Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's my pick. That's my favorite. I want to see this match.
The match being Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles.
Because they are on the show with the black belt, not the red belt.
Yes, you sound like a child. I know that's not on purpose, but it's a lot of fun. Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles had a great match. You might be able to find somewhere on the internet. It was in New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom, the same event that Jericho and Omega fought at. It's the Japanese WrestleMania. It's in January, and they did this both a few years ago. It was their last match before coming to the WWE.
So this is 2016, so not that long ago.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was a great match. It was one of the last great matches that Shinsuke Nakamura has had. AJ Styles has had many, many great matches since then. And so the idea that Nakamura, who's a big fan favorite, he's one of the most charismatic guys they have. He's just a lot of fun.
He's sold so much merchandise.
Yeah.
He's targeted towards people like Chris and I. People mm-hmm. that have watched this stuff and are having fun with it. And for the people that have no idea what we're talking about, Shinsuke Nakamura is a mix between like Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson.
Yes.
But then he also fights in the ring with MMA style because he actually fought some MMA.
Yes. And he also fought Brock Lesnar when they were both in Japan.
Okay.
So tied in the Paddy Power rankings at 9-2 odds are Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. So you mentioned earlier, you talked to Dolph Ziggler mm-hmm. at the RNC.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler.
Frequent Fox News contributor.
Yes. Like, would you say libertarian commentator?
He's a libertarian. He's an openly libertarian man.
That's great. I'm glad that libertarians can be open in this day and age. So Dolph Ziggler, his last storyline was that he was the U.S. champion. He's a heel. He basically said, screw you guys, I'm going home. He left his belt in the ring. They're clearly building towards a kind of WrestleMania type ladder match where there's two guys with the claim to the belt. So Ziggler is back in it, maybe as a gold watch run. He's been in the company for a long time and has been talking about leaving for almost as long as he's been in the company. Daniel Bryan is kind of the interesting one here, because Daniel Bryan, probably the most popular guy that's currently on TV.
Yeah.
By far.
I don't know about that. There's two guys that I'm like, I don't know. Braun. Okay. There's an argument for Braun. And Cena.
Okay, that's fair. I will say that Daniel Bryan is the most popular guy they've had for in the last like decade. His height.
Net pot, like overall.
Yeah, I'd
agree with that.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan is currently not cleared to wrestle. He has had serious concussion issues, and they will not let him, allegedly they will not let him in the ring.
Do you think that if, inevitably Daniel Bryan will wrestle, we should make that clear. His contract with WWE is up. He's already made it very clear if he's not allowed to wrestle with WWE, he will wrestle somewhere else.
Yes.
Keep in mind that these are all wrestlers, which means they are all liars.
Yes.
Because they are, in theory, actors, and the entire time they're
the parties.
On.
Yes.
So it makes sense. Do you think that if Daniel Bryan is allowed to wrestle and clearly win the Royal Rumble and clearly continue to compete, this will hurt Vince's chance for future XFL, because the CTE stuff will be front and center with most every single Daniel Bryan comeback story?
Yes. Do you not think that the CTE thing is a feature, not a bug, of the XFL? I think
we'll
XFL,
explore that later.
Yeah, there will be no helmets in the XFL. No more helmets.
Just play rugby.
Yeah, no, it's going to be like, they're going to have leather helmets. It's going to be like 1920s.
All right, moving on. I think that's an interesting point to bring up. Do you think there's any chance of Daniel Bryan appearing?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
Because it's fake, and they want to make money.
And they also teased it on Monday night.
They've been teasing it for a long time. He was a guest referee at a pay-per-view. He didn't take a bump, but he fell down in the ring. And, you know, they trust him enough to go out there and do this.
They had Kane choke slam him through a table.
In the dark.
To be fair, Kane is currently running for mayor. We're not making this up.
Yeah.
Kane,
the
devil's favorite demon, is running for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically Knoxville.
Knoxville.
So that's that match. The women's match, I think, could go a couple ways. Basically, they have Asuka, their big Japanese import, who's undefeated. NXT, they didn't even make her drop the belt.
Once again, before we move on, there are also two belts in the women's division, but these are different colors.
Yes, they are blue and red, and
exactly.
They go on the matching blue and red shows.
Okay.
So the women's rumble, I would say the favorite's got to be Asuka, unless there's surprises.
Okay. So Asuka, like Chris has said, undefeated. Since she came into WWE, even before that NXT, and she would be facing Charlotte Flair for the belt if she wins. Because she's on Raw. No, she would be facing
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss.
Who she has a she got a non-title victory.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with... Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't say Alexa out loud or you turn on your Alexa. Okay, so I think that's the clear victor then.
Yes. And currently, Patty Power disagrees with us.
Okay.
Because they believe that the favorite at 11 to 8 odds is Ronda Rousey.
Okay, so I don't disagree with that either.
Yeah.
But do you need the Rousey pop to bring her into Royal Rumble as a celebrity, or not a celebrity, but a new guest entrance? You know what I mean?
Right. No, here's the thing though. It's weird because like doing a pop like that, like bringing someone, getting them at the Rumble, it's weird in this era because it's like, it's on Twitter that she's in it. Do people go out and subscribe to, like, what's your goal to make money here? And you can easily just bring her out on Monday night and say, hey, I'm here now.
That's why I'm thinking Asuka wins.
Yeah. I mean, you really don't, the surprises are kind of just for the fans, to pop the fans. It's not really to get, the Ronda Rousey thing is going to be a huge thing. I mean, you would, but on Monday, people might actually turn the channel if they see on Twitter that she's there. So you can actually get some sort of benefit. The WWE's currently, they're going to be coming up to negotiate. So anything they can do to get TV numbers up rather than their network, which is, you know, that's their like proprietary thing of subscribers and a monthly fee. Whereas the TV product, as they're trying to renegotiate, possibly move to Fox if Fox loses UFC, there's a big reason to put Ronda Rousey on TV in the run up to the.
So there you go. I think you just answered.
Yeah. But it's also Vince McMahon, and he's crazy, and he's 7 years old, and he took a stunner on last Monday, so who knows what he's thinking. I think a dark horse, only because she is super popular, is Becky Lynch, and possibly build a storyline there on SmackDown with the blue belt.
Yeah, that's only if Ronda doesn't participate in Mania this year. That's my only... I mean, maybe you save Ronda to Mania and then actually have her challenge somebody for whatever that next pay-per-view is called.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to guarantee about the Women's Royal Rumble is there will be footage from last week's Women's March in the package, in the video package, before comparing it to...
Yeah, women are on the march.
Exactly.
Even here in the WWE.
To the Philadelphia to fight in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's what everyone's marching to.
Once again, wanted to point out that Linda McMahon is in the cabinet.
Yes.
And the McMahons, clearly, Stephanie and Triple H were at the inauguration, at the inaugural ball. They might not necessarily be Republicans, but they definitely hang out in the White House. And if you follow and friend us on Facebook, you can see their Festival of Friendship shot, and it's a delightful thing to look at.
It's delightful. Stephanie McMahon will be on commentary on this match.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is real bad.
When was that announced?
Yesterday.
Oh, God.
So she will be on commentary. This does not preclude her from entering the Rumble, as many announcers have, once their number came up, stood up. The funniest is probably, there's a GIF you can find online. Booker T had done it. He's sitting at the commentary desk wearing a blazer and a headset. His number is called. He stands up. He's not wearing pants. He's wearing wrestling trunks. So he was just sitting doing his job like Matt Lauer style, just with no pants on, and just decided, I'm going to go wrestle now. The King has also done it, Jerry Lawler. So there's a chance Stephanie tears away her power suit to have gear under it and then dumps Asuka, because the WWE is the main purpose is to make stars out of the McMahons.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Also on the card, Brock Lesnar defending his Universal Championship against Kane, who's running for mayor, and my favorite current guy, Braun Strowman.
All right, so clearly they're doing a three-way so Braun doesn't have to take the pin?
Yes, so Kane will get pinned in this match so that Brock does not lose the title until he loses to Roman, and so that Braun can still be a guy who tips over ambulances, tractor trailers, he uses grappling hooks. All this stuff is things that have happened on TV. You should watch wrestling because, like, and Braun is, he's hilarious.
And he's on Tinder.
He is on Tinder. IRL. He's also in the Mixed Match Challenge, which you can watch on Facebook Live. I sound like a WWE announcer now. I'm plugging the product.
We both sound like children playing with toys.
Yeah, no, he's my big friend, Braun Strowman. He's with Miss Bliss, who I will not be saying her first name, but will set off your Amazon device. Mm-hmm. And they're an adorable couple because she's a tiny lady and he's a giant fucking man.
It's cool.
Yeah. And that'll be a fun one.
My favorite match of the night, precluding, like, I mean, there's only five matches total, but is the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens friendship teaming up against AJ Styles match. So in storyline, Kevin Owens and Sammy, if they win, will be co-WWE champion. Yeah.
And AJ Styles against that because he's against the gay community.
It's awesome.
Yeah. This storyline has been atrocious. There's no way to describe it in politics. It's in wrestling. It's they really don't know what they're doing. Sometimes writing is bad on your favorite TV show, and you just got to wait till the next season. Right now it's bad, but it did give us this amazing sentiment, which we will now be including in all of our shows.
Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
Kevin Owens is the best guy on mic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen?
Some smodgy bullshit where Shane gets involved for some reason. I mean, clearly Shane is going to get involved.
Yeah.
He's not the ref.
Is this how you bring back Daniel Bryan? You do this as the first match of the night, and then Daniel Bryan clearly takes a bump, and then he enters the Rumble.
No, I think he takes a bump. I mean, the bad thing is they've written themselves in a corner where the match that this would be, even in their own logic, you'd be getting to is Shane versus Daniel Bryan, which is the dumb. If you're going to have a guy go out there and break his brain, don't make him do it against the boss's kid who can't wrestle, who looks like he's going to, he looks horrible every time he wrestles because he looks like he's going to die. Daniel Bryan, I mean, best case scenario, Shane gets involved in the match, kind of screws Sammy and KO. Daniel Bryan comes down. Kicks Shane's head clear off his body, does Vince McMahon a huge favor. If he kills Vince McMahon's son, Vince will let him wrestle. I think that's what will happen.
So that's your pick for what happens at
yes,
the Royal
murder
Rumble?
Murder at the Royal Rumble. WWE Network, $9.99 a month. Best $9.99 you can spend.